My name is Zimishu Dr. Z, Microsoft Architect Evangelist. With me today is Cameron Skinner. We are going to talk about what developers and architects can do with Team Edition 2010. Hi, Cameron. Thank you for joining me.
Hi. Nice to be here.
Before we get started, can you introduce yourself and tell us what you do at Microsoft?
Sure. My name's Cameron Skinner. I'm a product unit manager on the Team System team, who's responsible for building the architecture edition in the upcoming 2010 version of Team System.
Great. Now, is the architect edition is just for architects or it's also for developers? And what about the other, you know, Visual Studio Testers Edition? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, sure. So the Architecture Edition is one of three client-side SKUs. So you've got three boxes you can choose from or install all of them on your client side, all of which are collaborating with the Team Foundation Server on the server side. The Architecture Edition is absolutely for architects as well as developers. Architects being this big term that lots of people have, what is an architect, and there's various levels of architects, et cetera. You can think of the Architecture Edition as being really targeted at the classic, like, solutions architect, someone who's a little closer to the implementation and someone who's trying to get an understanding of you know, their existing system or their problem domain in general. And then, of course, developers. And we've really focused on what is the coordination between those two roles, as well as the rest of the roles in the lifecycle management.
Okay, great. Now let me ask you, if I'm an architect, why should I be excited about this new architecture edition?
Sure.
What's in it for me?
Sure. We're really excited about this particular box for 2010. We've got a number of new features for the architects and developers as well. But for the solution architect, we've incorporated five new UML diagrams. We've got the logical class diagram, sequence, component diagram, activity, and use case diagram right out of the box for you to use. And we're incorporating that in with the rest of the ALM inside Team System, so you'll be able to associate model elements with, you know, work items of various kinds, requirements, et cetera, and incorporate that in with the rest of the ALM. At the same time, we've put in a number of features like the layer diagram and the Architecture Explorer to enable you to get your head around the complexity of an existing system. Once you understand it, kind of maintain control of that system, and so on.
Okay, great. Now, speaking of the support for UML,
yeah.
And I remember, you know, I could be wrong here. Our story has been, UML is useful, but, you know, we think, you know, it's mainly for documentation. You know, it's great standard to have, but now all of a sudden we are supporting UML. So what's the story over there? Can you comment on what versions of UML it supports,
sure.
And why we are doing this one? Are we going to continue to support UML,
sure.
Going forward?
Sure. Yeah, that's a great question. Get this one a lot, actually. So it's one of these things where we've been focusing on DSLs, domain-specific languages, for a while because we've been really focusing in on, you know, providing you tooling that is very specific to your particular problem domain, which is what DSLs are all about.
Right.
Yet at the same time, UML, which is an industry standard, is there. Many folks understand that notation as a standard. They leverage that for collaboration and communication purposes throughout their entire organization. And bottom line is, we've basically come to the realization that it's not an either or. It's really an and. And it's about using the right tool for the right job, depending on what you're trying to do. So to do, you know, conceptual analysis and design, et cetera, UML may be just a perfect choice. And so we just said, let's give that tool to our end users and let them experience the goodness of that, while at the same time understand what it means to connect those logical diagrams potentially to more specific, domain-specific diagrams and notations and languages, and start looking at the opportunities that can provide us. And so in 2010, in the Architecture Edition for 2010, you're going to see us really take advantage of a DSL plus UML approach. You'll see that in how we connect our Architecture Explorer, the diagrams coming out of that, the DGML graphs, and how we can connect that up to our other DSLs, like our layer diagram, and how that connects up to the UML graphs, as well as the existing class designer in the product today. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, UML plus DSL, really, I've got a blog post that talks about UML plus DSL equals pragmatic modeling. We're really just trying to say, look, there is a place for all of these things, and we just want to just use it where it's fantastic, connect it with other areas that are equally useful, and just find the happy medium there.
That's great. Now, with the available, you said, five diagrams of UML, I'm curious to know if we're going to support UML in such a way that, for example, if you modify the UML diagram, it's going to be reflecting the changes in the code, or vice versa. You know, as we know, the class diagram, I don't know if you will necessarily put it into the UML category, but
that's right.
So is that the case, or this is really version one, and going forward, and we may do more work in that space?
Yeah, I think we'll do more work in that space. I mean, right now we're focusing on really providing the UML graphs for the communication collaboration purposes. Folks want to do code generation, et cetera, with that. Now, the class designer that's in the box right now is essentially a view of your code. You make a change to that, your code changes. You make a change to your code, that diagram changes. And so we wanted to provide another experience where folks could do analysis and design without affecting their code. You can expect us to continue to do more around connecting those logical graphs to the lower level implementation while you're doing it, giving you the choice, essentially, to drive the changes, et cetera. But first cut, we're gonna say here's the layer, or I'm sorry, the UML diagrams. Let's give you the ability to do code generation. We'll also provide some power tools in the future that can pull up from code and generate those graphs. But right now, we're just focusing on the core functionality of making a great UML tool.
I understand. Now, I want to go back to the DSL. Is that sort of the extensibility that we're providing so that third-party developers, if they want to add their domain-specific language tools, plugins, they can?
Yeah, absolutely. So a key thing to realize in how we've approached the UML space is we have built the UML designers on top of the DSL toolkit that we've already been shipping in the VS SDK since 2005. And so we've built on top of that highly extensible infrastructure, put all these new designers on top of that, so that as you as a developer go out there and say, oh, I need a domain-specific language for this particular area, you can do so. But with the enhancements in 2010, you can now connect that metadata that you're creating there, connect it over what we call the model bus, to the UML designer. So now you have kind of the best of both worlds. You can describe your intent perhaps in the UML designers, connect that to some your lower level implementation of whatever it is that you're modeling in your DSL.
That's great. I would like to take a sort of small step back. We talk about this is architecture edition, but it's also sort of designed for developers and architects.
Yeah.
So basically, what kind of fundamental issues are we addressing? Are we trying to solve or help developers, architects to improve their productivity?
Yeah.
So can you give us some specific comments regarding why are we doing this, who this tool is built for?
Sure. At the heart of this issue that we're trying to solve is complexity. There's complexity in the problem domain itself, just trying to understand what is the issue, what is the business problems that are requiring, this new IT software project to even go. Complexity there. There's complexity in the act of building that solution to solve that business need. And then, of course, there's complexity in the existing systems, kind of what we did to ourselves already.
Right.
Complexity in the organizational politics, et cetera, et cetera. We are absolutely attacking software complexity. We want to provide a couple more levers that people can pull to get a control over that complexity. Complexity in the problem domain, complexity in your existing systems. That's our focus for 2010, and will be our focus for releases to come.
Right. Now, I heard that there are some specific tools or features available. You mentioned some of them, for example, the Architecture Explorer and the Architecture Diagram, Layer Diagram. Are these the tools basically specifically designed for that purpose?
Yeah, absolutely. So the UML designers were about managing the complexity of your problem domain itself.
Right.
Okay. Getting that domain understood and communicated. Then we have the layer diagram, which is basically a way of you declaring what your architecture is from a dependency perspective. I've got the UI data tier, business tier in the middle there, and dependency should flow down. We give you the way to declare that and map your assets onto that, and we'll tell you if that is in fact what your architecture is doing based on your existing code. Then we give you the Architecture Explorer and the directed the DGML, directed graph markup language, to go in and analyze your system, and your system beyond just code, but we're really focusing on code, allow you to visualize that, get your head around dependency issues. When we start talking about software complexity, dependencies are probably one of the top reasons why software is complex, just understanding why this particular component, when you change this, something else over here breaks. That's a dependency issue, and we're really focusing in on that to give you some more tools to break those dependencies or at least understand what they are. And that at that point, once you understand what you can, what they are, get the act of building those or fixing those, actually, hook them up to your work item tracking so you can assign those to other folks in your engineering team, et cetera.
So I can see it serves at least two purposes. For example, with the existing code application, it gives you a visual representation of how the code, how the architecture looks like. Mm-hmm. So you know how things really work together.
That's right.
And also, second of all, if you want to make changes, it can tell you the impact of that change. So whether it complies with the dependency, the rules you set in the system, or even if it breaks, you know where to fix.
Yeah, that's the idea, right? We've got a long ways to go to really get to the point where it's like, oh, I see this real complicated network of issues. Just fix that for me,
right?
We're really
that'd
just
be ideal.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And once we get there, I'll be sure to let you know. But
sure.
But where we're really at this point is just bringing it to the surface that you know that you've got, you know, these things are dependent on all these other items, and just understand, you know, and at that point, it's up to you to go figure out best approach to go fix that. But you can imagine we're running down the path to try to help you with that.
Great. I definitely can't wait until, you know, you tell me, Z, we got this available, you know, check it out.
Yeah.
And also, I would like to ask you, you know, based on the, I know it hasn't been released yet, but I just want to know if we've talked to any customers, partners who have, you know, look at the bids, if you got any feedback from them.
Sure.
Regarding how these new features, these design goals, you know, will help them.
Sure, sure. So we've got a number of avenues where we've engaged the customers. We've got this thing called the TAP program, which we have some really in-depth customer interviews all the time, bi-weekly kind of conversations. We've got that going on all the time. We've got my blog, blogs.msdan.com/CameronS. We're doing that. I'm showing kind of screenshots of the product, talking about what that looks like. Feedback from that has also been really good. But as we roll into beta, the product is, you know, we're about to ship the beta product here for all of Team System and Visual Studio. It's imminent. That's when we really, really are looking for the feedback from all of our end users to make sure that, hey, we're heading in the right direction. If you see anything there, you know, boy, we really want to hear that feedback, and so that we can act on it.
That's great. I can tell as a program manager, you are very excited and very confident that we'll deliver this one, and the customer will love it.
Yeah, well, that's the hope, and we're doing our best to make sure that happens.
Great. Thank you so much for your time,
great.
Cameron.
Great to be here. Thanks a lot.